Welcome back. We're really glad that you decided to turn today your heart and to seek our Lord, to worship Him, to praise Him, to be reminded again of what God's doing in our hearts in this world. And I just am excited to share this time with you. It truly is one of those moments that we're going to look back in history, I believe, and know God did a deep work. God did a deep work in us and in our world, and we're gonna keep working through that and keep leaning into it. Last week, I asked you which is better to plant when it comes to God working in our lives and growing us up. Is it better to plant flowers or fruit trees? Flowers are beautiful. Flowers help us to appreciate the beauty in life, the good in life, and enjoy things in life. But think of those flowers to represent more like those short-term things that we do in our lives to help us experience God's grace and love. But fruit trees are those long-term practices that we do on a daily basis, on a weekly, monthly, yearly basis to help us have a faith that can go the distance. That we need both, I believe, flowers and fruit trees to be planted. And in that, I shared with you a psalm from 139, where it was a prayer of David that just called out to God, God, search me, know my heart, search me and know my heart. And then I shared with you how we can do that and what it looks like when we ask God to search us, that He's going to show us things that we have to deal with. We need to have the courage to go and confess and own it and share it with the Lord. It's not news to Him, but it might be news to us. But it's part of God's deeper work in us, that transforming work. Believe it or not, God doesn't bring you to a church service just to say hi to people. That is great, and we do that, and we love it. We love the hugs. We love connecting with everyone. But God is looking to do a deeper work. And so the second part of this prayer was this part that said, test me, Lord. And I mentioned how that testing can be that time of where almost there's some things that God has to break out of us. That in order for us to really be healed and made whole, He sometimes has to maybe reset the bone so that we can be the people God's called us to be. And then that prayer wraps up in this, just asking God to lead us, to lead me now in this way, in the way that resembles You, in a way that looks and is different to others, not for our sake, not just for our sake, but for others to come and hear that invitation as well. All of this to help us become a flourishing disciple. Each one of us, God imagines us growing in our faith, knowing His love, knowing what He wants to do in us and through us. See, a disciple is not just surviving, but should be growing and even thriving, as we like to say, flourishing. And how do you flourish when it comes to being a disciple? Well, it really three areas of how we live it out, our head, our heart, and our hands, that everything about us, of God working in us, should be impacting others, should help us. We should be filled with more joy, more peace, more faith, and trusting in God. But that doesn't happen overnight. It's not just some magical prayer or magical, three easy steps that we follow and it just works. It's something that you and I have to surrender every single day, moment by moment, seeking the Lord. And in that, when we ask God to do those deeper works, we have to be prepared that we're really praying the prayer, test me. And that testing is something that sometimes we like to think we're further along than we are. We like to think that maybe we've been going to church for more than 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Maybe we grew up, all we've known is going to church. The reality is, remember, we don't go to church. We are the church. That you and I, whenever we're together, we are God's hands and feet in this world. We are His church. And as we do life together, as we gather and scatter, whether it be on a Sunday morning or throughout the week, and God has us where He has us, it's about us taking our everyday and laying it before Him and saying, Lord, use today. Help me to be more loving. Help me to be more caring. But it's in prayers like this that we get a picture, just maybe a little bit of a picture, of where God needs to do a deeper work in us. And so when you say, Lord, search me, and he starts to reveal things to you, and you say, Lord, test me, and you feel like, Lord, I'm good, enough, no mas, no more for me right now, I'm good, how about we find someone else to go work on this testing. The reality is, God knows what he's doing, and this is the part where we have to trust him. This is the part where you and I have to take a deep breath, lean in, and say, yes, Lord, not my will, your will. What do you want to do? And when our lives are turned upside down, and to go back to those fruit and flower trees, think about how they grow and what is needed to grow. You don't just plant them in any type of soil. You have to actually make sure the soil is ready to be planted. If there's maybe whether it be a fungus or maybe there's not many nutrients in that soil, we're going to have to redo and refix the soil up and clean it up and maybe get some of the rocks out of there to revitalize the soil. And in that, that's the testing part. That's what God is doing in us. He's actually working deeper, cleaning out areas maybe for the roots to grow, or maybe he's trimming up the top part and he's helping it and stuff. So I think I have a great text here that I think really it's actually one of the texts in my life that when I read this, I was going through a testing time. I had been asking God to do a deeper work. He knew where he was taking me 5-10 years down the road. And I said, Lord, prepare me to do that. And so he started. And my world turned upside down. And I said, okay, Lord, maybe we don't need to work on that all that today. And so this text was just a wind of hope, a fresh wind. And so I just want to invite you to it. It's in John chapter 15, the first 1-4, and then we'll wrap up on verse 8. But John chapter 15, 1-4 is just so important for us to understand and understand what happened right before this. To get the most out of this text, we need to understand John 15 is when Jesus has just led the disciples at the Passover meal. They have shared their communion time, and in that, he also shared that things are not going to be the same anymore, and that he's going to end up sacrificing his own life. And so this is his last teaching before he's arrested. Think about if you knew you only had a little bit of time left, what words would you use? Probably some of the most important of your whole life. Well, Jesus knows that his time with his disciples is coming to an end. And he wants them to know the big picture of what God is doing in their lives. And so he tries to just lay it out there crystal clear. So let's jump in there. I really hope this connects with you. This would be something that if the metaphors he uses, just something that just you're not picking up, just put a bookmark, read chapter 15. That's your homework for this week. Read chapter 15, especially the first 15 or so verses, and just really dive in and see what the Lord's trying to teach again his disciples. He says it like this: I am the true vine, referring to Jesus. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Now, the vine and the gardener. The vine is the one that we are going to be plugged into. You'll find out here in a bit, but we are the branches. And so the branches can't grow without being connected to the vine. And the vine and the branches have no chance unless the gardener is partnering with the work being done. And so we should really pay attention to what's happening, what the gardener is doing, where our hope is in the vine, and our part to play in this last, again, teaching. That's the gardener here now. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. That sounds very dark, but think about, again, what that might mean here in a sec. Just hold that thought. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. He takes off the dead branches that are not have no chance of coming back, have no chance of bearing fruit. He's a very wise gardener. when you study how they make wine, one of the things that, especially after reading this text, I really started, you know, going, well, you know, are they just kind of willy-nilly and just kind of they just go at it? No, it's really an art when they do it, and they're paying attention to what's growing, what's not growing, and they want to get the most and the best, most luscious fruit out of their crop. And so what they're doing is they're finding those areas that really they think have the most potential, and they start cutting it back. Well, here's some things that you need to know. And again, I just want to point out that he prunes so that. It's not just he just starts cutting, right? So that. He's got a purpose, and it will be even more fruitful. Pruning, though, is painful. Pruning is not something we go, oh, I love it, keep it coming, God. Pruning, when God starts to prune in our lives, he starts to cut away those areas that are not healthy for us, that are not bearing fruit, and he starts to cut back those areas that really have such great potential. But without his intervention, they'll never, ever, ever come to fruition. And there's no pun intended in that, actually. But the pruning is painful. It's not about, Lord, I asked you to do more in my life, and I've been asking to grow in you. I didn't ask for more pain, though. The challenge for us is to trust him in the pain. And we can trust him in the pain because the pruning is purposeful. It's not an accident. It's not something, again, he's willy-nilly. He is very intentional. He wants to help you and I bear fruit. Bearing fruit is the whole purpose of what God's brought us together for. Now, bearing fruit is living in the way that we were always made to live. Last week I talked about being made or remade, and that we all need God's transforming work in us. And it starts with us humbling ourselves before him, our part, and saying, Lord, search me, test me. And then next week we'll talk about how we go through this in Lord, lead me. But in this testing time, let God do the deep work that we so desperately need. Because when he does have that, when we humble ourselves and we surrender that, and he does the deeper work, he can take us so much further than we think that we could ever go. But if we pull back, if we even get to the point where we say, no, 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 I'm done, I quit. He's good and he's kind, but he'll have to do the deeper work down the road. And that will even be more painful. But the challenge for us is to every day say, Lord, help me to have enough faith for where you're taking me today. Don't worry about tomorrow, but right here, right now, help me. And so I want to invite you to right now, just take a moment, close your eyes and pray and ask God to give you that faith. Say, Lord, give me that faith. Help me to know that you're pruning me. You're testing me. You're helping me to become what you've always dreamed of me becoming. To glorify you all my days, to enjoy you forever. One of the great ends of the church, Lord, so help me, Lord. In your name, amen. That great end, one of those great ends of the church, is to, again, glorify God and enjoy him forever. But we do that knowing that our pruning has a purpose. Jesus goes on to say, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Now, we don't feel clean. Let's just get real here. The longer I'm a Christian, the more I see how much I need God's intervention in my life. The more I think it would be less, and I at least feel comfort now, being in my mid-40s. I remember when I first moved to Fort Pierce area, I had breakfast with about three other gentlemen, and we'd have breakfast on Wednesday mornings. It was always super early, like people that love getting up at like 5:30 in the morning. Anyhow, so we'd get up and we'd go to the breakfast, and I remember there's a gentleman about 25, 30 years ahead of me, and I remember him saying, man, I'm just frustrated. I thought I'd be past some of this sin stuff. Like, I thought I'd be like, this is, like, I am fully, you know, a follower of Jesus, and I just still get stuck sometimes in that stuff. And I remember hearing that going like, yeah, what are you doing wrong? I'm thinking at the time. And then I'm like, as I've gone through, and he said it then, but I was just kind of like, huh, we don't feel clean. The reality is we are clean in him. He's doing the deep work. what in this search me and testing, he's helping us to see all the cleaning that needs to be done. And we're not to be discouraged in that, but we're supposed to trust him in that. I mean, he said, you're already clean. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. You've already, the work that I've begun in you is going to come to completion. It's going to finish its work. Trust me. And so we might not feel clean, but we have to trust that he's the one doing the deep cleaning, okay? Again, our part is to surrender and obey in that. He goes on to say this, and this is crucial. Don't miss this. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Now, how do we remain in him? He promises that he's always with us. He's given us. We just had Pentecost a few weeks ago. Pentecost is that beautiful promise of God through Jesus sending his Spirit, giving us his Spirit. The same Spirit was in Jesus, now lives in us. There was one place that God resided, and that was in the temple, and it was only once a year he would come to visit. And that has been taken away. That temple has been leveled, but the curtain was torn from the top down to the bottom. There's a reason for that. Most tears begin where they are pulled apart from, almost as if God was tearing it apart and saying, there's no more divide between you and I, that where you are, I am with you. That's why we can say with confidence that God is with us everywhere we go. That's why we can trust that he is the one who is leading us, and we have to continue in being faithful in that. And so when he says, remain in me, and I, as I also remain in you, it's a promise, a beautiful promise. Our part is to remain in him. And understand, it's not about us doing more or trying harder or just being good people. That's where the fruit is done by itself. That's when we try to bear our own fruit. But it's when we remain in him and trust that he is doing that deeper work. Now, what does it take to grow really good, healthy fruit trees and flowers? Well, again, I mentioned the soil needs to be adjusted and maybe dealt with. Let's get real. There's manure involved. I'm not going to use the grammatical word here that I'm thinking, but you might be able to insert that in there. He uses the junk of our life, the manure of our life, even the sin, and he can use it for his good. He can use it to actually bring us together and actually help us grow up. It becomes fertile soil. The brokenness of our past can become the manure that he uses to actually help us bear fruit that we never could before. Some of the greatest stories of people's lives in the faith are people that let God take their brokenness and use it as a balm of healing for others. He became wounded healers. We're able to meet today via online through this thing called the online church platform because of a gentleman who was at the end of his rope, a pastor who had just given up and had hit rock bottom, as some would say. He's in a motel room, and as he's in there, he opens it up, the drawer, and he finds a Bible. And he's like, I've tried everything else. Let's see what this has for me. And he begins to read it. And he has a transforming experience. That pastor became the person who not only was used to plant a church that became one of the largest churches, not only in North America, but one of the most generous churches. They provide this online platform for free. Because of what God did in the manure of his life. The hardest part about the manure is when God shows you the brokenness, when God shows you the mess that you find yourself in, not to run from it, but to run to him. Not to push it away, not to pretend, not to justify or defend. Just humble yourself. Own it before him. And let him have it. Pray a bold prayer. Some would say a dangerous prayer. and ask God to use it for his good, for his glory. Somehow let it be hope for someone else as well. Don't miss that. Jesus goes on to say, neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. He really wants you to understand that unless we remain in him, we have no chance at this. It just doesn't work. But as we remain in him, we will have the peace, we will have the strength, we will have the grace to run the race. And we need to keep in that race. There are so many things that God wants to do in us so he can consistently do the work through us, but we have to let him do the deeper work. And so I implore you, humble yourself today. Open yourself up and say, Lord, help me not to be afraid. Help me to run the race. And in those times where those testing just feels like you're just going to break me, help me to know you're not doing it without thought and care. You're doing it on purpose. You're doing it for my benefit and for others' benefit. You just don't know how God's going to use you. But our job is to remain in him, because he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. We're the ones that we find life, we find our strength by being connected to him. And sometimes in the world, and we've had 3 months now of a disconnection, maybe the Lord wants to use us to help us reconnect with him. And I want to invite you to do that. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoa. I mean, that last one is a heavy one, right? Like, come on, nothing. Nothing of eternal value. Nothing that will really make a difference years and years after you've gone. Notice it's an if-then. If you, then I, then you. But look at this one more time. If you remain in me, then I in you, you will bear much fruit. If, then, as we remain in him, then he will do a deeper work. It's about us paying attention to that deeper work and saying, Lord, help me to see that your goal is to help me to bear fruit. That it's not about just showing up on a Sunday morning, which, don't get me wrong, we love that we're gathered here online, and we love when we actually gather face to face. But his desire is that we will bear fruit. His desire is that we'll become the people God has always imagined us becoming. But it doesn't happen overnight. You can't force any plant to grow, any flower to grow, any tree to grow. You can provide the right environment. You can do all you can to make sure that everything is set up for growth. And that's what he wants to do in us. He's like, let me be the gardener. Let me help your life really be bigger than what you've ever imagined it to be. To make more of an impact, to change more lives. He wants to transform us, to change us. He wants us to bear fruit. Fruit that will nourish. Fruit that will impact. That our lives will count. And so as we close here in prayer, and we'll be back in a few minutes for a final word and the benediction. But may in this next song, may you just humble yourself again and just seek the Lord out. Let him meet you where you're at. Let him help you let go of the pain, of the struggle, of maybe your own rights. Let that go and say, Lord, not my will, your will. Perhaps the Lord will do a great work. Perhaps it might be a different, this prayer might be a difference in the next 5, 10, 20 years of your life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you love us just as we are, that your grace is infinite, that there's nothing we can do to make you love us anymore, and nothing we can do to make you love us any less. And that is good news. But your love doesn't want us to just stay where we're at in the muck or in the mess. You want us to actually grow up through it. You want us to be transformed, renewed from the inside out. And we pray, Lord, that you would do that work. Help our lives to be fertile soil. Help us in that, in being the branches to really bear much fruit. But meet us where we're at so that you can do the deeper work. And as we continue to praise you and worship you, would you give us your promise of peace and presence, especially right now, to give us the hope and the strength we need to run the race. We pray this in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Again, we hope that you're encouraged this week in knowing God's work that he's doing in this world and what he wants to do in your life. Final word, this is actually the last verse. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. That he wants to help us. In fact, it brings him great pleasure. You can put a smile on God's face by opening yourself and saying, Lord, may I bear more fruit. May I bear even, dare I say, much fruit. Let him have your heart and your life. And in that, you'll become a flourishing disciple. In that, you'll be a light in the darkness. He will use you as to be salt of the earth, as Jesus says in Matthew 5, that we're to be a preservative and a flavor, and again, to be in the world so others may know of God's work, so others may know of the invitation that his Son brings. I hope this has encouraged you. I hope this has challenged you. Now, receive the benediction. You go nowhere by accident. Where you go, God is sending you. Where you are, God has put you there, and he has a purpose in your being there. Christ who indwells you has something he wants to do through you where you are. Believe this. Go in his grace. Go in his love. And go in his power. Amen.